book of Esther, chapter 4. Ask the Lord to bless His word. Our Father, we bless Thy name. And dear Lord, we come before You this day with the bread and wine before us to seek to do as Thou hast taught us, dear Lord, to remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ till He comes again. And Father, we desire that You might cause us to reflect upon these things. And Lord, to reflect, first of all, upon ourselves, to see that we be in the faith. Lord, that we might see that there is within us a desire to be numbered among the followers of Christ. That there is within us, O Lord, a longing to be made in His image. And Father, to see that in ourselves there is not one good thing that we can bring unto Thee. And more importantly, Lord, may we focus our thought this day on what this is. For it is, Lord, a memorial feast unto Him who is our hope and our expectation. That one upon whom all of our hopes are cast, and without whom we shall surely perish. And Lord, as we look upon this bread and this wine, may we be reminded that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, did of His own purpose and in His own power take sin and destroy it in all of its power and all of its glory, and did make a show openly of all the enemies of the people of God, triumphing over them, destroying them forever. And Lord, may we see that in that work that He has performed is all of our confidence. And Lord, to be numbered among those for whom He died on Calvary's cross is our desire. And Lord Jesus, we ask You that You might have glory in this place today. Lord, that You might deliver us from religious rituals. And Lord, that we might see the truth and the beauty of Christ alone in all these things. Lord, hide us from the ways of men. For Lord, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And Lord, we are easily turned aside from those things that are needful. And I pray, Lord, that You might cause us to focus our mind and our heart upon those things, Lord, that are before us. And giving all glory and praise to Thee, that the name of Christ might ever be exalted, world without end. We pray it. Amen. I would assume that you know the basic story of Esther. If you don't, shame on you, because you should read these things so that you might know the history of the Lord's deliverance of His people. And that's the message that we see from the beginning of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation. Or like the old preacher said, from generations to revolution. You know, that those things. But all that's in there is to that end. It's to show the Lord's love for His people, His deliverance of those people, and the glory that surrounds Him as a result of all of that. And if you miss any of that, you've missed really what's in the Bible. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here, a lot of good advice. I mean, a man could take the practical advice that's in the Scripture, and or if he could order his life by it, he would be, you know, in good shape. But that's not the purpose it's written for. The purpose it's written is to bring glory to God in the manifestation of the redemption of His people in Jesus Christ. And all these, the other things are just kind of peripheral issues that are important. And most assuredly, everything that's in the Scripture is of value. In the book of Esther, of course, we know that Esther was brought into the to be the queen in a very unlikely scenario. That began with a very unlikely scenario. The king, of course, of Persia, he, in a drunken feast with all of his buddies and high men of the kingdom in the with him, after they had drunk and feasted for 3 days, he decided he would call his wife, Esther the queen, to come before him, and because she was a beautiful woman, and he'd call her in and have her to display herself before them in a Vashti, I mean, the queen. What, who did I say? Esther. I mean, Vashti, excuse me. That he would have Vashti to come in and display herself in a dance or some other lewd display before the, so he could, you know, parade her about, and she refused to do it. Now, that was something that women didn't do in that day, was refuse what their husband said to do. And it was most certainly something that a person didn't refuse to do what the king said to do. The king of Persia and Babylonia, all of these kings, they were, their word was the law. I mean, if they said something, if they decreed it, that was it. And there was no going back on it. And that's really what got the king into the situation that he was in, because he, after he in his, after he sobered up and he realized what he had done in signing this decree to have Vashti banished from being the queen, because he loved Vashti, but he had already said that, so there wasn't anything for him to do since he'd made a decree, drunk or not, he had to banish her. And so then a search was made for the queen, and of all things, the Lord had delivered the nation of Israel into Babylon in order that He might deliver them from it. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, people question, well, it's a terrible thing that Adam fell in the garden. Now listen, sin is a terrible thing regardless of where it's at. Sin is that which took the Lord Jesus to the cross. But don't ever misunderstand the purpose of God in ordaining that sin should come in among the human race was for the purpose of fulfilling the glory of His grace in the manifestation of the deliverance of His people out of it. Now, the world doesn't like that. In fact, they want to accuse God and say, oh, well, if that's the way God is, and I don't want anything to do with Him, because that just doesn't seem right. That the Lord would send a man into the earth, ordain that he should fall,
in order that he might deliver him. And they don't like that. Because you see, nothing about the message of grace is appealing to the flesh. The only thing that's appealing to the flesh is the flesh and its way. There is a way which seemeth right to men, the end thereof are the ways of death. And men will reject the truth at every turn. And it begins with small things. But so we see the nation of Israel brought into captivity into Babylon and into Persia as the subjects thereof, and so that the Jews, they were really a nondescript people among the when they were taken into captivity. They weren't great mighty men. They were conquered. They were slaves. They were taken there just to be servants. But as God would have it, He put them in places where they might be in places of prominence. They didn't get there through their own ability, but they got there because God ordained that they should be put in place, these places, and He gave them the wherewithal to do that. Think of Daniel. I mean, same situation. Daniel, on the one hand, didn't have a thing in the world to do with being put in the place that he was, but God ordained that he would be there, and he manifested himself in Daniel and brought Daniel to the place he wanted him to be. Well, the same thing is true with Esther. Think of all of the beautiful women in the kingdom, and yet here's this one little Jewish girl raised up by her uncle after her parents had died, and here she is, brought in to be selected by the king to be the queen over this great nation into which she, as a Jew, had been brought as a subject. Or her parents, at least, had been brought as subjects and servants. And so here she is. And she's been anointed the king because the king, the scripture says, the king loved her. In verse 11 of chapter 4, we read, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces to know that whosoever, whether man or..." Wait a minute. Let me back up a little bit and read. Mordecai had sent to Esther. Well, let me go back a little further, and I'll just tell you this. Of course, you ought to know this. I ought not to have to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, in case you don't know. Some of the enemies of God's people, and the enemies of God's people are everywhere. Now, the enemies of God's people are mainly manifest in situations, or they are blatantly manifest in situations like Brother Al brought before us, and there are multitudes of men around the world who suffer today for conscience sake. That is, they will not back up on the things that they believe in order to please men. And in certain countries, that runs afoul of laws, and then situations arise, and the law is brought against them, and they're in prison, put to death, and all manner of things. But there are always going to be people that hate the people of God. There always has been and always will be. If that's why the scripture says that you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Those two things don't go hand in hand. And when you're highly spoken of among men, then you're not going to be highly, you're not going to be, if you're a follower of Christ, you're not going to be ultimately highly spoken among men if you stand for the things that that Christ has taught us. Now, you can compromise it down a little bit. You know, you can get off the rough edges and just kind of be something that appeals to everybody. And you can get it in there that way. But testifying to the truth, living in the way in which the Lord has taught us to live, is going to cause conflict in the world in which we are put. It's just going to happen that way because people don't love the truth. they don't love the things of God. We didn't love the things of God. Maybe we don't now. I don't know if we love them or not. But I know this, that the natural man does not love the things of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. These things, you don't need to get too worked up about it, is what they tell us. Certainly don't ruin your life over it. But in any event, Haman had risen to a place of power at the same time that Esther had risen to a place of power. So we see the deliverer of the people of God raised into a place of power, or to a place of being able to do that which God would have her to do. And at the same time, the enemy of the Lord's people raised up in the same kingdom at the same time. Now, does that make any sense to the thinking of men? I mean, would men, if they were planning this out, would they raise up the deliverer and the destroyer to go side by side? No, that doesn't make any sense, does it? But it does make sense in the purpose of God, because you see, God would demonstrate His deliverance of His people, and in order to demonstrate the deliverance of His people, He has to put someone in place who would destroy His people. And so it is. And so Haman had got the king to sign this decree kind of in an underhanded way, saying that these Jews were insubordinate people and that they wouldn't follow the king and they were trying to overthrow the kingdom and all of those sorts of things, which were not literally true, but he used it to influence the king to sign a decree that all these people needed to be killed, and to make it all right for somebody just to go kill them if they wanted to. If you saw a Jew, you could kill him, and there would be no penalty for it. And so Mordecai got word to Esther that this had been done, and he had told her to go and make supplication to the king for the people of Israel. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spoke unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. This is what she told him, go tell him. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live, but I have not been called to come in to the king these 30 days. And so Esther knew that the law of the Medes and the Persians was that you couldn't just come in to the king whenever you got ready. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? Now, the preaching that we hear most around us today, and I tell you this because it's everywhere. It's not like you can escape this. This is everywhere. Tells you that you can come into the presence of God anytime you get ready. He's just sitting around like a dog with his tongue hanging out, just hoping you'll come see him. Am I telling you the truth or not? I mean, that's exactly. I heard a guy just the other day on the radio basically saying the same thing. God just is standing there just wanting to help you and wants you to come and fellowship with Him so much, and He'll just do anything, and it's just all up to you to come anytime you get ready to do it. Well, Esther knew that wasn't how you approached the king. She knew that if you came into the presence of the king and he wasn't pleased with you, then he could destroy you. And she said, I hadn't been to see the king in 30 days. He hadn't called for me. And if she went in there and he was still, maybe they was on the outs. You know, husbands and wives sometimes get on the outs with one another. Maybe they were on the outs. I don't know what it was, but he hadn't seen her in 30 days. And she didn't know if she could come into his presence or not. She didn't know what he was going to do. And they told Mordecai Esther's words, and then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, send these words back to her. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You need to remember, Esther, you're a Jew. And so if this decree is allowed to go forth and the Jews can be killed, ultimately you're going to be killed yourself. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now you see, Mordecai didn't have the privilege that we have of reading the last, of reading the outcome of this. See, that's always the way it is when we're going through life's problems. If we could read the outcome, then it wouldn't be any problem, would it? I mean, if Esther had known that the king was going to receive her, no big deal. But she didn't know that. And Mordecai said, look, who knows? The Lord may have brought you into the kingdom for just such time as this. Now, we know now that he did, didn't he? Because of what resulted. Esther was brought into the kingdom for just such time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Dear brethren, we see in Esther a willingness to die for her people. Now understand that this was her people. She wasn't going in to see the king for everybody in the kingdom. She was going into the king's presence for her people. She loved them. The Lord Jesus prayed in the garden, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me. The Lord Jesus prayed for his people. He entered into the presence of the king for his people's sake. And Esther, as she comes in here, she says, if I perish, I perish. She's willing to die. And so we know the outcome. As when she came in, the Lord moved Ahasuerus to put out the scepter, and she was received, and she told him what the deal was. And so that was a deliverance for the people of God. But there was a couple of things about this that as we come to take the Lord's table to be reminded of. And of course that one, I already mentioned it, is that as Esther is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ willing to die for his people. Because he was already in union with his people. He was already united to his people. See, the sheep of the Lord are the sheep of the Lord. He doesn't take goats and turn them into sheep. He doesn't leave sheep alone and let them become goats. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Just like the scripture Brother Al read there a moment ago. The Lord Jesus said, the constituents of my kingdom, they follow me. Now, being the children of God is not a matter of an act of the will. People don't become the children of God by an act of the will. They don't enter into the kingdom of God by an act of the will. They enter into the kingdom by the act of the Father's will. Amen. It's not of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, nor of men, but of God who shows mercy. See, it's not according to the power of the flesh to become the children of God. But yet, all of those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ went into the presence of the Father as a sin offering, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Now that's a twofold truth. See, he's describing who the people of God are. How do you know the people of God? They're those that come to Christ. Shall some of them not come? Not according to what he said. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come. Now, there's a doctrine that is sometimes called effectual calling that is described there. That is that the Lord calls and men answer. He called Jonah, did he not? He said, Jonah, go down to Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't go, did he? Yeah, he went. He just went. He went. See, he went and bought the ticket going the other way. But the Lord already had his fare purchased and the means of travel already ordained. And the Lord, the Scripture says, the Lord prepared a fish. Now, Jonah wasn't planning to go to Nineveh by fish. He wasn't planning to go to Nineveh at all. But the Lord said, you're going to Nineveh. And so he went. And in like fashion, the Lord calls his people and they come. Now, does that mean they all come just all at the same time? Or that they all come in the same fashion? Or that they all come based on the same words that are spoken or whatever? No. The people of God come as God calls them. Some He calls early in the morning. Some He calls at noontime. And some He doesn't call but just before sunset. But you see, the Lord calls His people and they come whenever it is that He ordains that they should come. Now the glory of that is that not one of them shall be lost. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then there's another glorious side of that truth, which is He said, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Now how can a man know if he's one of God's children? Now that's a ticklish thing. Now again, the prevailing message of today is that the way you can know that is because you made a decision. And if you ever get to wondering whether or not you are one of God's children, just look and see if there's a time when you made a decision. And if you did, fill out the card, whatever means you did, join the church, was baptized, whatever, you can go back and look at that and say, yes, well, I'm in. But see, that's not what he said. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Now, when do the people of God come to Him? Now, according to the modern concept, a man comes to Christ when he, what is the term that's used? He gets saved. He got saved. Well, old brother so-and-so got saved. Well, he's in. You can't find that in the Scripture. What you find in the Scripture is men calling out to the Lord. Men following the Lord. Men calling on the name of the Lord. Men coming to the Lord. Not one time. Every day. All the time. They're coming. They're saying, Lord, help me. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You see, the man who's knocking on the door, the man who's pleading to get in, the man who desires to know Christ, the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the man who desires that he might be one with Christ, the Lord said He would not cast him away. Now, dear brethren, that's a glorious thought. Because there are plenty of times when the evidences of the presence of the Lord in our lives grows weak, and the candle is almost about to go out, like it is, was in the days when Samuel was in the chamber. And the Scripture says, and the light, the candle was almost about to go out. It was late at night. But the Lord, see, He doesn't, late at night or early in the morning doesn't make any difference to Him. Because the Lord's Spirit is working in His people. Why? Because they've been given to Christ, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Oh, glory to God. Because you see, that gives hope to the most trembling of sinners. That one who says, oh, if I could just be numbered among God's people. But I don't see any evidence of it in myself. I don't have any comfort. I don't have anything that men would count to be of any value, but yet the Lord said. You see, this is one of the things that keeps God's people coming to the throne, is it not? He said He wouldn't cast them away. Now, dear brethren, you see, that's why He gave us this right here. To demonstrate that He will not cast away the people that have fled for refuge to Him. It's not about religion. It's not about joining something. It's not about doing something, having an experience or anything else. It's about coming to Christ. How can a man come to Christ? There's only one way. No man can come to me, the Lord Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Do we worry about whether or not we're going to get some folks into the kingdom of God that's not supposed to be there? No. No, now there's going to be plenty of folks. According to what the Scripture says, there shall be many. The Lord said there'll be many. He didn't say there'd be a few. He didn't say it'd be one or two around here. He said many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all thy wonderful works? Have we not done? Look at us, Lord. Look what we've done. See our religious deeds, Lord. Surely we're among the children of God. I mean, we made a decision. We were baptized. We taught Sunday school. We went all these places. We did all these things. Surely. Many shall say unto me in that day, have we not done many wonderful works? And He said, I should say unto them, depart from me, for I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. You see, religion is iniquity if it's not pure and undefiled. If it's not that which is wrought in the heart of a man by the Spirit of the living God to call him. There's only one way that a man can come to Christ, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And oh, you know, the sweetest, one of the sweet consolations that any who are given the privilege of preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to men is the knowledge that that Spirit is sent into the world to draw men to Christ. He gives them a hear and ear. He gives them a see and eye. And He causes them to hear from time to time the sweet sound of the gospel. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, dear brethren, the Lord, He confounds the wise. He confounds the mighty. But He never confounds the weak. He never confounds the beggar. Oh, he never kicks to the curb any that seeks mercy from His hand. Oh, that's a blessed and glorious thought to know that Christ is the Savior of sinners. and save as such as call upon His name. And He will not. He will not quench the smoking flags or break the bruised reed. But He'll bring forth judgment unto victory. The Lord Jesus Christ did enter in once into the holy place, the Scripture says. And that's exactly where the holy, what is the holy place? The holy place is a place that you just can't go. Esther couldn't go into the presence of the king because it was a holy place. Now, not holy in the sense in which God's holy, but in the same fashion in which He is. He's high and lifted up. He's separate from sinners. You can't go into the presence of God. How foolish for a sinful man to think, oh, well, I'll just call on the Lord when I get ready. You can't. There's only one way to come to the presence of the Lord, in the name of the One whom He has already received. Because you see, Jesus Christ hath entered in once into the holy place, having done what? Having obtained eternal redemption for His people. Esther went in once to the king in the behalf of her people, and she obtained that for which she went in there. She was going to die for her people. Now, she didn't have to die, but the Lord Jesus did, because the Scripture says that God would be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. And so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ paid sin's debt in His own body on the cross. If anybody ever doubts the wickedness of men and the heinousness of sin, just let him cast his eyes upon this bread broken and this wine poured out. Because it is the body and the blood of Christ that's shed for sinners. Given. Was there any other way the Lord could redeem His people? Well, there's a way. The Lord could do anything He wanted to do. But you see, He designed the earth to be a place where He would manifest redemption in the fashion in which Jesus Christ came to redeem His people. And it caused all the things to come together for that end, that He might be glorified forever. So is there any other way for a man to come to the presence of God except through the blood and the righteousness of Christ? It's here before us. He said, except ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shall no wise enter to the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord give us grace.